When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. Now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're here to talk about the New Age movement. We've spoken in past episodes about the development of human consciousness that the New Ages are strongly into, and that all the different, or some of the different psychotechnologies that New Ages have used to develop their consciousness, to realize that they are God. And one of the things that they strongly emphasize is that they have the consciousness of Christ, that they have the same consciousness that Jesus had, and that Jesus is no more God the Son than you and I are. Now, that's a false teaching, and we have to be very much alert to it. What do we see in the scriptures in this regard? Let's, if you have a Bible, take a look at the St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 11, we see St. Paul say, "I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God himself, since I have given you in marriage to one husband, presenting you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, Jesus Christ is supposed to be our husband, and we are his bride. That's what the church is, and St. Paul will develop the same idea in Ephesians chapter 5, that Jesus Christ loves the church the way a husband loves his spouse. But what does Paul go on to say? "My fear is that, just as the serpent seduced Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted, and you may fall away from your sincere and complete devotion to Christ." Now, pay attention to that, because so often, among New Agers, and as a matter of fact, something that's kind of generally thought in our society, is that you can think whatever you want, and when you have your thoughts, I'll have my thoughts, and that's all okay. But that's not what we see in the scriptures here. It says that your thoughts may be corrupted, and you may fall away from your sincere and complete devotion to Christ. See, on the legal level, it's true. You can have your own thoughts. You can think whatever you want according to the law. And that's a part of American society. And we should be glad that we can have our own thoughts so that people don't oppress us for them. However, just because you may think your own thoughts legally, that doesn't mean that they're good for you spiritually. That you can have wrong ideas about Christ and wrong ideas about the church and wrong ideas about Scripture. And wrong ideas about God, and that these can take you away from sincere and complete devotion to Christ. Some New Agers will think that they are getting into Christ consciousness, and that the Christ consciousness is something that will help them to grow. But that's not the real case. Now, Paul goes on in verse 4 and says, "I say this because when someone comes preaching another Jesus than the one we preached, or when you receive a different spirit than the one you received, or a gospel different than the gospel you accepted, you seem to endure it quite well." Now, Paul is not commending the Corinthians for that. We are not supposed to receive another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. We are instead to accept the gospel that was once handed on to us by St. Paul and by the other apostles. However, we see in the New Age movement that they preach a lot of different Christs, a lot of different Gospels, and many different spirits. Let's take a look at some of these things that they teach, and how are we to respond to them. One of the spirits who does a lot of speaking is a spirit named Seth. We've talked before about Seth. Seth completely takes over and possessed the body of Jane Roberts. Jane Roberts has since died, and Seth therefore no longer takes over her body. He doesn't have enough power to control her now that she's dead. But when she was in this life, he would take over and speak to her. It began by playing around in curiosity with a Ouija board. And this is something that should be a warning to us. You don't play around with occult things like Ouija boards. Even though it seems to be a game of some sort, it's not. And it got her into being possessed by the spirit, where it would just take over her personality entirely and would change her face and the tone of voice, and was totally different way of speaking than she spoke normally. And at first she didn't believe in all this stuff, but she started to say, well, maybe something is speaking to me through the Ouija board. And maybe something's speaking to me when I talk and this other character comes in. And it could be so. I think it is so. Yes, it's so. You know, that's how her faith in Seth developed. Well, this led to all sorts of other ideas about Christ and other Christs and other Jesus than what we see in the gospel. Seth says that Christ did not exist as one historic person. That's one of the things that she says. Christ wasn't one historical person. That instead, I'm going to quote now from Seth, I mentioned the crucifixion, saying once that it was an actuality and a reality, although it did not take place in your physical time. Now, do you see what the Spirit is trying to say? The crucifixion did not occur during physical time and not in our time zone. She's making, or Seth is making, or Jane Roberts, whoever is speaking here, is making Christianity into a myth outside of time. That it's something that isn't real. It took place in the same sort of time in which a dream occurs, and its reality was felt by generations. Not being a physical reality, it influenced the world of physical matter in a way that no purely physical event could. Now, this denies our faith entirely. We believe that God really took on human flesh in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word of God incarnate. And he wasn't making believe. He wasn't entering into a dream world. This wasn't pretend. But Jesus really suffered in the crucifixion. The nails really pierced him. He cried out. He was thirsty. He was crowned with thorns. And this was a real experience, not some dream. However, the spirit of Seth that spoke through Jane Roberts said it was just a dream. It says that the crucifixion was one of the realities that enriched both the universe of dreams and the universe of matter. And it originated in the universe of dreams. It was the main contribution of that system to your own and could be physically compared to the emergence of a new planet within the physical universe. Well, that is totally absurd. And says that the apostles were willing to die themselves as martyrs for having preached that Jesus Christ crucified is our Redeemer and Savior. Well, this isn't the only false idea of Christ that Seth teaches. We're going to come back in just a moment to continue to see these falsehoods and others. So please stay with us.
Yahweh gladly, and come into his presence with songs of joy. Know that he, Yahweh, is God. He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the flock that he pastures. Walk through his porticoes giving thanks, and enter his courts praising him. Give thanks to him, and bless his name. Yes, Yahweh is good, and his love is everlasting. His faithfulness endures from age to age.
me, O Lord my God, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope of finally embracing you.
Welcome back. We've been taking another look at some of the false Christs and false spirits of the New Age movement. Let's continue to look at the teachings of Seth and what he's trying to say. Now, we said before that Seth said the crucifixion belonged to the reality of the universe of dreams. But, and I'm quoting here, Seth is not saying that the crucifixion was just a dream. He is saying that though it did not occur historically, it did happen within another reality and emerged into history as an idea rather than a physical event, an idea that changed civilization. Now, according to Seth, it also says that an idea is an event, whether physically materialized or not. Even with that, he's got all sorts of error tossed in, doesn't he? He's trying to deny the experience of the crucifixion in history. Reminds me of those people who are going around today saying that the Holocaust of the Jews didn't take place, that what happened at Auschwitz didn't really happen. They're saying that real history is not real. Partly they can say this because they believe that the world of the physical universe is immaterial, it's an illusion, it's false, and it goes into all this whole new age and new point of view, this new paradigm of reality thinking. And we ourselves are saying, no, we can be in concrete history. God loves us so much that he entered into concrete history and did die within our human history. And we see that St. Paul went around preaching. Matter of fact, we can take a look about how the early church saw the importance of the crucifixion. In the first letter of the Corinthians, chapter 2, Paul says, "As for myself, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming God's testimony with any particular eloquence or wisdom. No, I determined that while I was with you, I would speak of nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, that's what we are supposed to preach. And Him crucified in real history, not in mythology, in any kind of way at all. Seth goes on to say that the ascension of Christ did not occur in time as you know it. It is also a contribution of the universe of dreams to your physical system. That's not at all what the apostles saw. They saw Christ physically ascending into heaven, going through the clouds. As a matter of fact, the early crusaders built a church to honor the site of the ascension of Jesus on the Mount of Olives. And when they built the original church, they made it with no roof to symbolize this ascension of Jesus. The Muslims later on put a roof on top of it, a dome, but the original church had no roof. There's one other thing I want to quote from Seth about Christ that's also patently full of error, and we have to, you know, just refute it. It says, "When the race is in deepest stress and faced with great problems, it will call forth someone like Christ." Now, let's stop right there. What they are saying is that, or Seth is saying through Jane Roberts, that the human race calls forth its own Savior. That is not Christianity. Jesus Christ didn't come because we called for Him. We didn't even realize how much of a problem we had. Human beings don't experience how much danger they're in unless God initiates it. God is the one who began the whole process of salvation and in each step of the way continues it. It was God who called Abraham, not Abraham who called on God. God called on Isaac and Jacob. God called Moses. Moses was just watching the sheep. And it was not human beings who asked for Christ to come. God sent Christ. He sent the angel to announce it to Mary. And Jesus Christ was conceived in her womb. at God's initiation, at God's choice, not at ours. So that in itself is false, to say that we, the human race, called forth the Christ in its deepest stress. That's just not true. It is not true either, as the, again, Seth, a quote from Seth, it will seek out, that is, the human race will seek out, and indeed from itself produce the very personalities necessary to give it strength. We just don't believe that, as we said. Now, he goes on to give another error about Christ. There were three men, according to Seth, whose lives became confused in history and merged, and whose composite history became known as the life of Christ. Each was highly gifted psychically, knew of his role, and accepted it willingly. Now, who are these three men? Seth says that it was John the Baptist, Jesus of Nazareth, and another man he doesn't mention. Now, this is crazy. We have no record of it except Seth's word. Seth is a lying spirit, and we should not believe what Seth tells us or teaches us. That's ridiculous. Instead, we have to take a look to the scripture. An authentic Christian spirituality will be a spirituality that focuses on scripture and what scripture teaches us about God. Scripture is very clear in distinguishing between John the Baptizer and Jesus of Nazareth, who is Christ, God the Son from all eternity. And they are not two different people that have been confused, but they are truly two separate individuals. And that's what we see in the Gospels. And it's not confused with some third person either. So we accept the historical Jesus as we see him in the Gospels. Also, according to Seth, that these three people were gifted psychically. Jesus Christ was not a psychic. He's God the Son. He has all wisdom and all knowledge because he is the Word of God made flesh, the Word spoken by the Father from all eternity. And he is the one true God. And we accept him as our Lord and as our Savior. Now, I want to take a look at a few more understandings of Christ according to the New Age. So we're going to come back in just a moment to continue this discussion. Welcome back. We've been looking at the teaching of Jesus according to Seth, a spirit that is channeled through Jane Roberts. And I'd also like to take a look at what a number of New Agers have said about the resurrection of Jesus. Because Seth talked about the unreality or the dream universe of the crucifixion. Now, what do they say about the resurrection? Well, first of all, let's take a look at Shirley MacLaine and her whole attitude towards Christ, because this gives us a clue to their whole perspective. She says, in the book Dancing in the Light, the great spiritual masters, such as Christ and Buddha, were totally in touch with their higher, unlimited selves, and were therefore capable of accomplishing whatever they desired. Now listen to that. That she puts Christ and Buddha as being the same. Because both of them were enlightened, according to them. That is standard New Age doctrine. That Christ and Buddha were both enlightened and shared in this enlightenment. And that they were in touch with their higher unlimited selves. Because they knew that they were unlimited, they could do anything they wanted to do, according to Shirley MacLaine. She says that they were fully realized human beings who understood all of their incarnational experiences, and were able to incorporate their knowledge and understanding into lives of service for others. So, Jesus is just a human being, like Buddha, according to the New Age. And that he just was able to realize all of his power. And if you follow the New Age doctrines, they are trying to promise that you can do what Jesus did. That's one of the goals of their teaching. Well, that's deceptive. That's not what Christianity is about at all. Christ doesn't want to give you his powers. He wants to give you himself. He wants to not just stir up all the human powers you've got, because some of us are going to be very weak and not going to have all sorts of power. That doesn't matter as far as Christ is concerned. He is God incarnate. He's infinite. And he will give you himself, and that's all that we need. And he will transform us and give us his grace. That's what we need. Now, what does this lead to for some of them? Well, let's take a look at the belief about the resurrection according to Sandra Ray. And so she says that Jesus himself did not conquer death to prove he was better or different than we are, but to teach us that we can do it for ourselves. You see how the idea continues to develop and reappear? That Jesus is there just to teach us how to do what he did. And we can really do it ourselves, because according to the New Age pantheism, you and I have the same powers that Jesus did. That's not what we believe. We believe, according to what St. John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 3, that when we see Jesus face to face, we shall become what he is, because we shall see him as he is. We won't become what he is because we meditate, go through rebirthing, or any of these other New Age technologies or psychotechnologies. But as a grace of seeing Christ face to face, he will give us eventually the resurrection from the dead on the last day when he comes again to judge the living and the dead. She says, that is Ray says, Jesus died and rose from the dead because man still did not understand the message. He created his death and resurrection with auto-suggestion. Now, what this is basically saying is that the resurrection and the death were false. He just suggested it to himself. He just said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. Or perhaps she meant that he was going to suggest it to others. It's not a real event according to the New Agers. Whereas Christianity says, no, God does take this world so seriously that he became incarnate in it. Now remember from the earlier episode that some of the New Agers, like Fritjof Capra and others, say that Christians are wrong. They criticize us for not considering the world sacred. Well, it's not that we consider the world sacred, but what we do believe is that God entered into the world and took it so seriously that he really died and really rose from the dead. It's not some myth, it's not some auto-suggestion, but it's true and real. Again, she says, Jesus created his death and resurrection by auto-suggestion, and people still did not get the message. Jesus took his body with him. He took total responsibility for his body, and until we can be that responsible for our bodies, we have no business comparing ourselves to Jesus. It is a goal to become like him, however. Now, this is twisted. In one sense, the words are kind of right. Yes, we are supposed to become what Jesus is. And Jesus is the norm for who we are supposed to be. But this is going to be something that we do by grace. She says that we have the power to do it on our own. And that we can do it by thinking ourselves differently. And that Jesus just thought differently and he was able to have this power. That's just not Christianity, and it's not what the scriptures say at all. Also, let's take a look at Ruth Montgomery again. We looked at her before. And she also has some strange teaching that she got from her spirit, Lily, who talks about Jesus' resurrection. Lily and the group of spirits that work through automatic writing with Ruth Montgomery say this. By manipulating atoms, they could appear and disappear at will. It was a demonstration to earthlings of what they could again achieve if they too divorced themselves from the physical magnet of the world and became as thought forms. Now let's take a look at that. First of all, she's talking about space people. People, you know, UFOs and extraterrestrials who could appear and disappear at will by manipulating the atoms. Okay? That's what the spirits are teaching her, that they have power to control the physical world. And they did this to teach human beings that they could control the world. And that if we divorced ourselves from the physical magnet of the world, if we got rid of the physical and only were spiritual, and became thought forms, or became as thought forms, as she says, lighter than air, that's what she says is a goal. That's unrealistic. You and I aren't being called by God to become thought forms. Now, the spirits speak through Ruth Montgomery and say, intricate drawings of these atomic disassemblers were left behind in various places, drawn not by the humans who saw them, but by the so-called gods from outer space. It is the way Jesus left the tomb without any trace of his body. Now, here's where she has all kinds of false teachings combining. UFOs left pictures of how to disassemble atoms, and Jesus somehow got one of these machines into the tomb with him, is what we can draw as a conclusion. And that Jesus used a disassembling machine from outer space in order to get out of his tomb. That's not what happened. God raised him from the dead. The Holy Spirit worked within him because God, Father, Son, and Spirit always cooperate together. And the real Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, look back at the Gospels. I'd like you to read the end of the Gospels, which talk about the resurrection appearances of Jesus. No machines or any such thing were mentioned. Instead, Jesus Christ appeared to his apostles in the upper room and in other places, and they did not want to believe it. They thought he was a ghost. They were afraid to believe it. But Jesus proved to them and said, look, it really is me. Touch me. Let me eat something with you. Give me some fish and honeycomb for dessert. He even wanted dessert. That the resurrection of Christ was truly real and not false, not from a dream world, and it saves us. Believe that. Accept Christ into your heart. God bless you.